Welcome everyone this morning. It's good to see each one out here, and welcome to our new one that's here for the first time, Hedda Brownlee. Congratulations. Glad to have her and her parents with us this morning. And I'd also like to welcome Josh this morning. As we've mentioned, Josh is filling the pulpit for us this morning, and he's going to be filling us in on what's happening in his life and how the Lord's leading, and we're just anxious to hear what the Lord's laid on your heart this morning, Josh. And other announcements, I'm not going to read them all, but just to, you might look through here, we have guest speakers lined up from now through August, and there's a need in there. Daniel and Kimberly Hamilton Wade will be here 1 week, and they're going to be here for a couple of days, so they're looking for some people that might want to have them in their home to reconnect. And then Jan's mentioned in here a possible church picnic. If someone would like to have that, keep that in mind. And if you desire, we'll step forward for that. I think that's all the announcements that we're going to do at this time. I'll have Dan come and read the scripture this morning.
Okay, we want to turn to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10 of chapter 1 of 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, that we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. All we claim we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness. We lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin and we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. And may the Lord add these blessings. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this time we've come to study your word. We thank you so much, Lord, that we get to serve an awesome God that walks with us each day. And even in tough times, He picks us up and carries us along. Thank you, Lord, for being such a great God, and you've promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Pray for Josh in the after service. Give him words to say. We thank you so much for his willing heart. I'm going to pray for the offering this morning, Lord. Pray that it will be used to glorify you and spread your word around the world. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
invite you to stand if you're able.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you all hear me? Does that work? I'm sure I've all over before. That's what it's supposed to be done, right? Like you said, I'm Joshua Q, and I know most of you. I've seen you coming and going. Went to church here, sat in the back row for about, probably 10 years of my life at least. Started whenever Tom Dykes was a pastor, way back when. But I never thought once that I'd be up front here speaking to you guys. Like, you guys are the veterans, and I'm just this young guy. I don't know. Like Gordon said, the last 5 years I've been doing missions. The last two at a Bible Institute, like studying to become a tribal church planner. And most of you are like, or maybe not most of you, but some of you are like, what the heck's a tribal church planner? And I'm like, yeah, you know. But it's going into a people group that doesn't have a single word in their language and reaching them with the gospel. Being able to learn their language, learn their culture, and then translate it and give it to them in a way that they understand. Starting in Genesis 1:1, going all the way through Revelation. In a way that they can understand and that they can grow and they can come to know our Savior the same that we do. In the time with Movida, I led a bunch of short-term mission trips and spoke in tons and tons of youth groups. It's a lot easier to speak in front of a bunch of 15 and 16-year-olds in Spanish than speaking in front of a church. Like, it's so much easier because I can, I don't know, if speaking in a different language makes it feel different, or I don't know what it is, but it's a lot easier to do that. So this is a good experience for me. And 2017, 2 years ago, God opened the doors for me to come back to study and like get some actual training, because I left without any training, just what God had put on my heart, and that was it. But I came back to study at the Bible Institute and actually learn more about what the Bible said, so I can communicate a whole lot more than just what God had done for me. But I'm a missionary, so I communicate through experience, I feel like. Within the first 3 months at the Bible Institute, God, totally changed my heart from just motivating young kids to serve God in their churches and their community, like, saves people to tribes, to tribals, to people that haven't had a letter of the gospel in their language. And he totally, changed my heart for that. So that's why I switched to Ethnos 360. To do tribal church planting, and that's just, the Bible says that every tongue, tribe, and nation will be in front of the throne glorifying God and giving Him the glory. And in, I think it's Romans, Paul says, how can they believe if they haven't heard? And how can they hear if nobody's gone to tell them? And how can someone go to tell them if they're not sent? And so, that just was one thing that totally, weighed on my heart. And that goes along with Romans 7, 9, or 9, 7, I can't remember, where it's, every tongue, tribe, and nation. But I feel like in order to have every tongue, tribe, and nation there, every tongue, tribe, and nation has to have the opportunity to hear about Christ first. And so that's just what God has totally put on my heart the last couple of years, and that's what I'm striving for now. And that's why I'm going to the Mission Training Center. It's in Roche, Missouri, a little town right on the Lake of the Ozarks. Real beautiful place. But it's to learn the phonetics and linguistics, how to make a symbol for every sound your mouth can make, and how to go into a people group that doesn't have a written language and learn their language and create an alphabet and then teach them to read, and then start translating the Bible and start doing lesson plans. It's a huge process. And then also they teach, carpentry and how to do solar panels, how to do septic system, how to do electricity, how to do mechanics, all sorts of this other stuff. And then putting together lesson plans, starting at Genesis 1:1, with a focus on Jesus as the sacrifice that paid for everything. And so that's just, what my next 2 years looks like. I'll be there for 2 years, and then I'll do a year, probably 6 months, of partnership development, which is fundraising for short-term mission trips, but partnership development's more long-term. It's letting the people that are there supporting and praying for me know that this is for the next 20 years. This is the next 30 years of my life. This is going to be dedicated to hopefully reaching a tribe with the Word of God in their language for the very first time. And I'm super, super excited about it. Like, I'm stoked. And the goal of all of that is to, like, build a church where the locals are the ones that are preaching. Where the white people, like, it was funny. We had a class one day, he showed a picture, and there's the colored guy's preaching, there's a white guy sitting clear in the back. He goes, "What's the best part about this picture?" It's a white guy sitting clear in the back, just listening, because the tribal people are the ones that are teaching. And there's a whole lot of strategy into what groups we go into first, but it's like reaching the group so then they preach to their people, but also they can reach out to other groups too and build missionaries out of that church as well. And that's basically the end goal. And I'm, like I said, I'm super excited to go and like fulfill the great commission. Go and preach the word to all the world. Let's pray before getting into scripture here. Let me block that one. Our dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to be here at Pleasant Point and just talk with these people and be able to communicate your word to them, dear Lord. And I just pray that it's in a way that they can understand. And I pray that it's in a way that can just give them excitement. Even if it's nothing new, I just pray that it's something that will excite them for you and for your word and for what you're doing for the world, dear Lord. And I just pray that you be with them, be with me, and I pray that you speak through me. That it's not my words, but it's yours that are being communicated to the church, dear Lord. And I just thank you so much for each person and them being here. We ask it all in your heavenly name. Amen. Let's look at 1 John 1, verse 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. That's enough. That's a lot. Now it's story time. whenever, to kind of set the mood, I'm going to start with the story. I'm not a preacher. Sorry. I kind of go everywhere. I am a missionary, so I communicate through life experience. So, of course, I have to start with the story. So, it might not be as put together as what you imagined, but I hope you get the same message, and I know that God can use it. So, let's start with the story. When I was 12 years old, I became super, super, super sick. Like, so sick that everything I ate, I threw up. For 3 weeks, I figured out the only thing I could eat was ice cream. Like, and God provided something that I could eat during that time that I wouldn't throw up. And it was, like, super bad headaches. And after 3 weeks, the doctors finally did an MRI and told me that there was a tumor in the center of my brain and that I needed surgery and that it needed to happen now. So the family obviously prayed, like, all right, what's the best hospital that we should go to? And God kind of directed us to Denver. And so we dropped off my brothers and sisters with another family to take care of them, and we took off for Denver. The night before going into the surgery, the brain surgery, because I had to do emergency surgery on like a Sunday afternoon or Sunday night. But the night before, I remember my father coming to me. And he asked me something that you don't want to ask your 12-year-old kid. Do you know if you die tomorrow, if you're going to heaven? Do you know that? And I had grown up in the church. I remembered the stories and I remembered what the Bible said. And I had learned that. But I didn't come to the full understanding of how big God was and what he could do for me. And like, I just kind of had him, oh, these are some awesome stories, this is the Bible, this is what the Bible says, these are words and God's effect. I didn't come to the understanding that he was here with me yet. And so I said, yeah, no, I know John 3:16. I know that Jesus came to die for me and to pay for my sins and to, like, give me the chance to go to heaven when I believe. And then my father also shared with me Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope and a future. The whole basis of that message was give your life to God. Let him be in control. let his plans be his perfect plans, because his plans are going to be perfect. They're perfect. He knows like 20 years in advance from right now, and we get worried about today. But give it to God. Let him take control. Let him be in control of everything. The next morning before going into surgery, like we were praying before going into surgery, and I could feel God with me. I could feel it. Like in 1 John 1:2, it says, or 1:1, it says, we have heard it, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, which our hands have touched. It was a real feeling. It was a real, live, right here on earth, right beside me feeling. And it's something I'll never forget. That's called faith. Let's see. I didn't keep up on my notes. I'm not even looking at them. It's real. It's like, and it was like a peace, a softness in my heart that I'll never, ever, ever forget. And I'm convinced that once you feel that feeling, the next time you have a problem, whether, no matter what it is, it would be stupid not to give it to God. And not to say, all right, you're in control. I'll let you take care of this. I mean, obviously we're doing stuff, but like, it's like you understand that there's nothing better than just to give it to God and let him take care of it. And that's what we call faith. Like, I don't know if there's any definition of that, but it's the feeling that you get in your heart of, all right, God, you're in control. You're in charge of this. I'm just going to let you go with, like, and I had to, at that time, I had to be ready to die. I had to be ready that, all right, God, if I die tomorrow, they're cutting through my brain. If I die tomorrow, I know that I'm going to heaven. Like, we have to have that. That's called faith. I don't know if you can define that in words. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever felt that? I'm sure you have. and it's, yeah, no, at that point, when you feel that, it's just so easy to say, all right, God. And I, like, if you see what they're saying, we have touched, we have looked at it, we have, our hands have touched it. This is what we proclaim concerning the word of life. This isn't just words in a book. This isn't just something that you read and think, oh, okay, thank you, God. Like, no, this is something that you, like, that they, in that time, all they had was the Pentateuch, the first couple books of the Bible. And, like, they still understood that God was there, that he was with them, because it's a feeling. It's not something written in the book. They didn't even have this written in the book at that time. But it's, like, it's just amazing. Let's see. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me, those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Wow. That's a promise. That's not just words. Like I said, it's a promise to us that when we are weary, when we have burdens, that we can take them to God. And we can trust that he is taking care of that for us. Faith is giving it to God, knowing that his perfect will be accomplished. And knowing the plans that he has for us are the ones that are true. A man of faith in the Bible that's like my superhero is Paul. I just love, love, love Paul. Like, he used to be Saul. But he had power, he had wealth, he had money, he had education, he had all these things. So much, everything that the world desires, right? And then Jesus comes to him on the road to Damascus. And changes his whole world. Changes everything. He was like, after he changed, he became he shared the gospel, like the real truth about Jesus to everybody, everywhere he went. And he was put in prison, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was like to the point of death, and like just ridiculous. Like, he gave up all that for this. He gave up all that for that. And then one time in Philippi, he cast out this demon. So they, like, gang him and beat him. And then he gets flogged. And they throw him in prison. And I'm sure this prison's, like, not pretty. Like, it's probably, like, it's the inner prison. It's like they chained his legs to the rocks on the floor. Like, I'm sure it's grimy. And, like, I'm sure they don't get a bathroom break. And there's no, like, I don't understand that process, but that's kind of nasty anyway. But his back is, like, open with sores, and I'm sure there's bugs eating on it, and, like, he's just bleeding everywhere and sweating. I'm sure it was really hot. Like, Israel's pretty warm, I think. But anyway, he's sitting in this prison, and about midnight, Acts 16:25. About midnight. Of course it was midnight because Paul couldn't sleep. There's no way to sleep with your laying shade to the floor and you're bleeding and sweating and stuff, like, you're not going to sleep. But anyway, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Wow. Wow. That just blows my mind. Like, when you see the real picture of, like, the situation that he was in, and yet he's still praising God. And, like, sometimes it's hard to praise God whenever we don't get enough likes on Facebook or whether our cow jumps the fence or something like that. And Paul's sitting in this prison, bleeding probably, just nastiness, and he's praising God and praying to God. How, like, that's faith. That's what I look at as faith. Like, I want a t-shirt that has, like, the Superman emblem, but I want it to have a P on it for Paul. Like, that would be cool. Let's see. Let's look at one of my other favorite Paul quotes from Philippians. Sometimes I speak in Spanish and I don't know it. Philippians 3:7-9. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything as loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which is through faith in Jesus Christ. Like I said, he had power, he had money, he had license to kill, like James Bond. He would go and kill, like, he could kill people and, like, have no problem with it. He had all these worldly things that we chase after, but yet he gave it all up to serve God. And he considers it rubbish in comparison to knowing God. Like, why do... I don't understand how it's so hard not to, like, I guess for me, I've seen a lot of people seeking after money, seeking after wealth, seeking after education, and thinking, oh, I'm going to get a good job and this is going to get me to heaven. No, none of this is worth anything compared to knowing Christ. So Paul was the man of faith that I really, like, really admire. When we have this knowledge, it should just overflow from us, right? Like, this should just fill your heart and pour out in love and kindness and good acts and stuff like that. And that's what drives us and shows us, like, how we need to act in situations, how we need to serve God, how we need to, like, help other people. Let's look back at 1 John 1, and let's go to 2 through 3. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The very first thing they did is go and testify to this feeling that they had inside us. The happiness, the softness of heart, the fullness of God. The first thing they did when they heard that is proclaim it to others, so that others can have fellowship, so that others can understand and what is it like to have the relationship with Christ the Father and Jesus. They proclaim what they had heard, what they had seen with their eyes, and what they had touched with their hands. That was our very first response. And how much are we doing? I mean, I can say for myself that I could be doing more. Like, and I know that. So that others may have fellowship with Jesus. That should be like a driving thing. It's like we have, one of our teachers explained it like this. Like, we have the cure to cancer, but we're not going to share it. Like, there's only one cure, but we're not going to share it. Like, we have it. But once we share it, then other people can know. Other people can find the cure to this sickness. This is why I have such a passion for these people that have no chance to even hear the Word of God, especially in their language, their own mother tongue. I just have this desire to do it. There is over 2,400 ethnic groups who do not have a chance to hear about Jesus every day. There's people dying without ever hearing the Word of God, or about hearing who Jesus is. Like I said, every tongue, tribe, and nation will glorify God. And in order for that to happen, they all have to have the opportunity to hear. They all have to have the opportunity to know who Christ is before Jesus comes back. There's a lot of work to do. 2,400 people groups. I have a couple quotes, not quotes, but like facts I want to share with you. Out of Christian missionaries, only 0.037% go to unreached people groups. 1% of all the money given to missions goes to unreached people groups. There is 78,000 evangelical Christians for every one missionary that goes to unreached people groups. Wow, what do you think of those numbers? That's crazy. Like, it's hard to even listen to it for me. Like, come on, people. So, pray that God will send workers to the harvest. Because there's a lot of work to do. And there's ethnic groups, like unreached people groups. Some of those are inside cities. Like, there's an unreached people group inside Milwaukee. There's a couple of them inside New York. Like, they're not necessarily ethnic groups. The 2,400 is different from the 1,600. But there's people that don't have a chance to hear it in their language. So pray that God will send workers to the harvest, because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. That's about all I had. No, not quite as long as what you expected, huh? I'll just pray to close, and then we can chat afterwards, because I know y'all like to talk, huh? Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this message that you've given to me, speaking through me, and I just pray that you can just use it to touch the hearts of each individual here. I pray that you bless our conversation afterwards, and I just pray that you can work through this message. It was simple, but I just pray that you can continue to use it in our lives and just remind us daily that you're more important than anything that we can ever grasp or go after or reach after, dear Lord. And I just know that this is what we need. And I just pray that you can teach that to us daily. And I pray that you can give us opportunities to reach out to the lost, to reach out to the people that don't have a chance to hear the gospel. And I just pray that you give us opportunities to share your word, and this feeling that you give us deep inside our hearts to love you and to know that you're here with us, and this peace that we can have that they can have as well. And I just pray that you work through that, and I just thank you so much for this opportunity to speak in the message that you've given. We ask all in your heavenly name. Amen.